that you found UBN Radio and discovered our quality talk shows, it's time to spread the word to friends, family, and the universe. 24 hours of music and talk. Radio without limits. That's why people keep coming back for more. That's UBNRadio.com.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Woo-hoo-hoo. All right, all right, all right. Howdy, 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 and welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, coming to you live from Sunset Gower Studios right here in Hollywood, California on this happy Wednesday hump day. Let me give a big shout out to my producer extraordinaire, Mr. John Williams.
Hey, 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 buddy. Jasper. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you.
So do you have your lottery tickets all bought?
I was just thinking that. I was like, you know, it's going to be, what, $1.3 billion? Is that the latest?
Yeah. Would that really make us happy?
Oh, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Did you play?
Well, you know, well, yeah. Dennis and I bought two tickets earlier in the week, and then we bought two for tonight.
Oh,
you know,
great.
When it's that much, you think, well,
might as well.
You know,
and it's
going to
bring
play.
Out all those people who have never played before, which is going to, you know.
Well, I read today where it said your odds of winning are, you have to, it's like being struck by lightning and drowning at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, I've been struck by lightning, but apparently that wasn't good. It's not going to cut it this time.
Well, people
I've
win. I mean, obviously people are winning, so I would say try. You won't
oh,
win
yeah.
unless you it's, play.
It's fascinating because there's always those stories of, there's a TV show, there's a reality show that talks about the lottery winners and how they've all, you know, how their lives went to hell after they won.
Yeah, most people have the lottery curse, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of, I wish everyone would follow us on Twitter at One-on-One J. Cole and Facebook, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, or you can go to my website, jaspercole.com. And when you go there, click on UBNRadio.com, go to our sponsor page, because we are blessed to have 25 sponsors. What I was segueing was when you win the lottery, you can take some of that money and go over and, you know, buy stuff from our sponsors. And we have eFile.com as our newest sponsors, but we also have 24 other ones, and here they are.
All of us here at One-on-One with Jasper Cole are proud to announce our 24 affiliate advertisers, and they are all .coms. InterServer, ZipRecruiter, Hilton Hotels, 3-Day Blinds, Adam and Eve Toys, BullGuard, Prime Slots, Russell Stover, Booking.com, Suzanne Summers Bath and Beauty, Quest Nutrition, Sur La Table, and Extended Stay America.
Additionally, we have EUK Host, Canvas World, Cheap Air, 21st Century, Liberty Mutual, Course Smart, Advanced Auto, Fandango, Meet Mindful, Flare Play, and Jewelry.com. Thanks again to all of our wonderful sponsors.
And now back to the show.
Yes. All right. We love our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to all of them. And once again, just go on the UBNRadioTV.com page, click on our show page, and there they are. I want to tell everyone I'm really excited about today's show because we have an amazing singer-songwriter, Joya Bruno. She was the lead singer, or is the lead singer, of the hit band from the starting in the 80s, Exposé.
Yes.
And they are, which I found out today, the second most successful female group in album sales, second only behind Destiny's Child.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
That is. And they came together around, what, 1987? 19,
I think
86, like
87.
Okay.
And I'm going to get Joya to tell us her journey. But
yeah.
I mean, they've had so many hits, but Let Me Be.
You Let Me Be,
let
the,
me
one.
Be the One.
Yeah.
That's been an anthem of mine. You know, I was in college in the, like, say, 83, 84, 85, and then I kind of moved. I started my career really in 86 in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just one of the groups that, you know, there was In Vogue.
Yeah.
Exposé. I mean, I can't wait to talk to her because they sort of really were around the 80s and 90s. And you're a musician, you're a singer.
Yeah.
You know, the business compared to today, that just seemed like it was such the big money time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was just the heyday for girl groups.
Yeah.
And especially girl groups, you know, they're really... They
and I think there was more quality music back then, too. I mean, I think it's really declined when you got to the 2000s.
Well, and you know, it's interesting you say that. And music that has sort of lasted, you know what I mean? It's still popular now.
Yeah. I know
club
that
music, yeah.
That one song, I'll Never Get Over You, Getting Over Me, that's one of their top 10, I think, back in the day. I remember that song.
Yeah, and Joya's continued on. You know, she's had quite a journey since then, and she's going strong and back out with Exposé. And her website is GIOIABRUNO.com. It's pronounced Joya, but it's spelled GIOIA. BRUNO, and I'm sure that has all her tour dates and all her information on it. So looking forward to her. She's going to be calling in at the 5:15 hour in about 10 minutes. But meanwhile, I was really, I'm sure also you being a musician and an artist, we were very sad to hear about the passing of David Bowie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. While I've always liked him, you know, I was more impressed by the outpouring of, I guess I just didn't quite
realize the impact,
grasp how much his life, you know, what impact he had on people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you being a singer, what was your take on David Bowie? How did he influence you?
Free to be me, I would say. Just the fact that, you know, he was a bold performer, you know, back in the day when I don't necessarily think it was accepted. I mean, I think originally he came out, what, bisexual in the beginning, or gay, maybe gay in the beginning. I think now he went, because he's married, right?
He married Iman.
Yeah, so I believe he's bisexual, you know, but it was just back in the day just to be so flamboyant and bold.
And he was like one of the first really androgynous. He had a real
androgyny. And those eyes and also...
qualities, wearing the makeup before Boy George or Elton.
Right.
Well, I don't know if Elton... They were kind of around at the same time, I guess. But
and then the movies.
I think David came early, yeah.
And then the movies, like, what was it? The...
Fell to the... The Man Who Fell to the Earth.
Yeah, but it was also... There was the mystical movie that he did.
Oh, Iggy... Yeah, famous.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Senior moment. All our David Bowie fans are horrified right now
No, that's good because they can say, "Oh, Labyrinth," really loud, or "The Man Who Fell to Earth," they could say, you know.
But you know, and what was amazing is he was working right up to the end, and it's just really haunting that his new music came out last Friday. And he's got the one music video on the one of the singles where he's sort of talking about heaven and the afterlife and
called Lazarus, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how amazing for him that knowing that he
give the gift
on this journey and he was dying of I believe it's been now said it was liver cancer, which actually I had a friend who literally was diagnosed with liver cancer and died like 3 weeks later. So to live 18 months, that's pretty. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
but he was able to make that music, and then there's a Broadway show he's been working on. I guess that's coming. It's going to be launched soon. So, rest in peace. God bless. You know, he leaves behind such a legacy, and I guess the great thing is, you know, his work will play on and live on forever. So,
right.
Yeah, and so I guess the other thing was, did you get to see the State of the Union address last night?
A little bit. Little bit, and what I love are the memes that are coming through where people have put their, you know, some sort of like a towel or a piece of paper or something like that to block the Republican side just because they felt like that was, you know, smug and condescending and just the looks that he was giving during the.
Well, Paul Ryan, especially the Speaker of the House, you know, sitting behind him, he just had that smirk on his face the whole time. And it was like, even when he talked about, you know, Trump's response about banning all Muslims and painting a brush, broad strokes against all Muslims, even that, Paul Ryan couldn't stand it. Well, he's not going to stand up at all, but he couldn't even applaud that.
I saw that. There was an image captured of Biden standing up, Obama standing up, and then Ryan sitting down.
He just seems like a petulant child.
Yeah.
You know, very entitled. I don't know what his background is.
Well, before that, remember there were other memes that were going around where, what was Bonner, right?
Boehner.
Yeah, Boehner, Bonner, whatever,
Boehner,
however you
Boehner,
say it.
Whatever.
Yeah, that was, they were doing the same thing. They went blocking,
yeah.
You know, because they just, it's like pouting, like, you know, like a kid. And just, and like, I have to be here and, you know, I don't want to be here. And
I mean, Nancy Pelosi got criticized for the same thing, but
yeah.
That's just because she has so much Botox, her face wouldn't move. I was never, as a Democrat, I was never a fan of hers for some reason. I don't know. I like her daughter who does the wonderful documentaries, but she just always looked like the Joker on Batman, bless her heart.
Well, the sad thing is that they, you know, that just contributes to, you know, you often hear the divided states of America.
Yeah,
the divided states of America versus the United States.
And it just doesn't it seem so high school?
What I'm saying. It's lower than high school. It's a pouting kind of thing. It's very like, you know, I have to be here. I don't want to be here, and I'm going to make you know that I don't want to be here. You know.
Well, the scary thing about it is we're watching them behave this way, and then we realize they hold the Senate and the Congress. I mean, they hold everything in the palm of their hands. They're getting paid a fortune. Pensions for life, health care for life.
Right.
And yet they act like these petulant children who can't, you know, get their shit together. So it's really embarrassing, you know, when you think about it. But
right.
I like that Obama kept it short and sweet. It was his last one. He really made a point to outline all the stuff he's accomplished and kind of pretty much tell everyone, if you don't like it, go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, of course, Michelle, looked like a supermodel. I just wish they would have put up like a picture of Barbara Bush back in the day and compared the two and been like, this is what our first lady looks like today compared to your, you know, looking like your husband's mother, bless her heart too. So what else? Let's see. So, the Golden Globes, they came and went, whatever.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais was exactly what you expected. And, my favorite thing of the Golden Globes was really the Mel Gibson's. I have to tell you, I have to give Mel Gibson's props. I can't even believe he came there and was on stage. I don't think we've seen him publicly really on TV since his rants and his arrest. Knowing that he was going to be up there with Ricky Gervais, I have to give him props for that. But I did think that was a funny line about, I see you every 3 years. It reminds me to get a colonoscopy. You know, I thought that was a funny line he gave back to Ricky, but
yeah.
Of course Ricky had to slay him with the, tell me again, what are sugar tits? Which I didn't, you know, it was bleeped, but that's what apparently
right,
Mel was saying
did.
To the cop when he
yeah.
got arrested.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, Ricky could have, Mel should be thankful that's all he said, because he could have really.
And Ricky went on a tirade on Twitter about in defense of him being a comedian and saying the things about Caitlyn that he said. I don't know if you saw all those tweets, but he was.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm so anti-Kate now. I'm not anti-Kate because
right.
you know, I'll be watching her show next season. But
of course you will.
I just think, you know, if she's a celebrity, and she's a celebrity even more so for being transgender now. So she's
right.
just got to be willing to take it, because that's what people are going to do. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to hear her whining about anything, and she probably hasn't been whining. It was probably just people supporting her, I guess. But, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, well, Ricky just doesn't want to. I mean, he really let him have it, the Twitter audience. It's like he's
well,
like.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about Ricky, if you're offended by Ricky, then what do you think? I mean, this is his third time hosting. That they keep hiring him because he's so irreverent. That's
mm-hmm.
what we like about him.
Yeah.
I mean, he, like, I think. Emerson was saying today on Del Show, you know, he doesn't, he hits up, you know, he doesn't, I mean, he's, you know, oh, poor these billionaires in the room, you know, if they can't take a joke about themselves, how sad is that?
Was Caitlyn even at the Golden Globes?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I don't think so. No.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would have had a camera on her.
Yeah, probably.
But, maybe she was watching. Maybe, you know, JW, let's hope maybe she was working at a shelter for
mm-hmm.
for the homeless that day.
Yeah,
and,
hopefully.
She came off the mountaintop in Malibu to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What did you think of the whole thing with DiCaprio and Gaga?
Well, I thought it was funny.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't want to. Well, anyway, I better watch what I say. I love her.
I do, too.
And,
yeah.
And you know, I think you got to see that's a real part of Leo's. I think that's a real part of Leo's personality.
Yeah.
That we saw. But I didn't really think it was a bitchy thing. I think he was just.
Well, the rumor is that, and if you pull up the image, you'll see other people were kind of making a weird look too. It was interesting. Pull up the image, the stills, and you'll see.
I have to give her props for. She's so regal. I mean, you're right, because she. Anytime you're like the fish out of water, you know, she kind of came in out of nowhere and got that. But you got to remember, the Golden Globes, one thing they're known for, like giving it to the lead actress from My Crazy Roommate, they did it with Calista Flockhart the first season of Ally McBeal. They did it with Gina Rodriguez for Jane the Virgin. They like to pick the first-timers and give them the award.
And the role that she played is the Countess, so, I mean, she sort of embodies that role in
terms of just being fierce.
Exactly.
Stephanie, her name, she really was an actress before. That's what she was studying.
Yeah.
I've always said, and I've said many times, I thought she could have a movie career.
Mm-hmm.
So a la a Streisand kind of thing.
Right.
You know.
And when she was backstage doing press for the Globes, she really had some beautiful things to say about her journey and the fact that she had always wanted to be an actress, like you had just pointed out, but just that her music is going to go on. She's releasing a new album, and that there's she was very, very grateful. She was just very gracious to the press, and it was very, very I was just blown away by how she handled press at the end of it.
Well, and you know, she's got this great fiance, the actor, who just seems really humble and down to earth, and just an average, great looking guy.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Totally. But I have a feeling.
Did you say average?
Oh, I think. Guess who just joined us?
Is this Joya?
Sorry. Yes.
Hey, Joya.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
You're hilarious. Welcome to the show.
This is go on and on.
I didn't even know you were here. You were ready. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Well,
sneaky little bitch, I'm telling you.
I'm sure. You notice I said average. I said average, and then I stopped myself because I'm like, no, there's nothing average about him. So.
No. And isn't he on Chicago
he's so
something?
Cute.
He's on a TV series right now, isn't he?
Chicago Med or PD or something.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, I don't know, but he's a cutie. And he just seems like a really down-to-earth guy. And, you know, when we were first introduced to Gaga, I'm sure you guys were introduced sooner than I was, but when I was just like, wow, she is so freaking crazy.
Yeah.
And she has turned it all around.
She really has.
She's just like, just majestic. So I get that, and I'm so glad that I can watch American Horror Story later tonight.
I just can't.
Friends coming over.
I just can't watch it. It's just too over the top for me.
I'm a Jessica Lange fan, too, so.
Yeah.
I was a little bit hesitant about the whole thing, but. I'm very happy with the hotel season.
You like it?
Well,
let me
ask you,
for lack of a better adjective.
Being a music diva yourself, you know, when Gaga first came on the scene, and her voice has always been phenomenal, but I was sort of always hoping, I was waiting for the day when she would sort of slowly drop the costumes and get down to just letting the music speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because in the beginning,
I
think
agree.
a lot of the costumes sort of diminished people taking her seriously with her voice, and then
the shock value is
for press, right?
Worth it, and for her. I mean, we needed it, and we needed it. Another, like, you know, Marilyn Manson, you got Madonna, you got all these people come out with this crazy stuff, and she just kind of just continued that pattern, I think, and but with incredible talent, and
incredible.
Then what show it was. She played the piano. She was wearing like a suit, and I don't know. She's probably drinking some scotch in the front row before that. She's crazy, but when it comes down to it, she's got it.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, she's amazing.
Incredible talent and incredible heart. And let's go. You know, this Italian girl raised, you know, the way she was. Like, I get that. That's kind of where I come from. That whole family oriented.
You were in Italy, right? You came from Italy. Originally, right?
I was born, I come from Italy.
Yeah, Bari, right? Is it Bari? Is that how you say it?
Yes, I was born there. I was born in Corato, Bari. But, I mean, I came over as a baby, you know. Mm-hmm. I was kind of born on vacation. Somebody got the dates wrong, and bam, you know.
And then you moved to Miami?
Well,
did you go straight to Miami? Is that where you...
No, no, I grew up in Jersey. I'm a total Jersey girl.
Oh, okay.
I came to Miami when I was about 22 and then joined Exposé. It was kind of a, I was singing in a club. Producer came in, oh my God, you know, this is the perfect voice. You're like the alto sort of gritty sound that we want to mix, you know, into this group. These producers came in and I really didn't want to do it. But I was dating a DJ at the time who just happened to have like the demo version of Point or Come Go. I think it was Come Go With Me. And he's like, you've got to do this. And I'm like, oh man. All right. So I just went to meet the guys. I went in the studio saying a little bit of Let Me Be the One. And I thought, yeah, I can do this. I was sort of more into rock and soul and I didn't really know about dance music. And we sort of were our own sort of version of dance music, I think, in 85, 86. Mm-hmm. Miami had its own sound. So it was a new thing for me. And then I met the girls and I was like, oh God. <I'm kidding. laughs> It was a little weird, I guess, you know, but just having to suddenly be in a group of people you didn't know, but lucky for me, you know, and time tells it all. It's 30 years later and we're still together and I love those ladies. They're just wonderful people. So that, you know, speaks to me.
It,
you know,
speaks volumes, yes.
So talented. Yes, absolutely. So, I do my own stuff too, so.
But you had been singing early on, like as a teenager, right? You had started singing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just sort of had my own band and did my own thing from 16. I had that. My mom got my fake ID, and I was out there doing, like, the club circuit in Jersey and Philly and New York. And then, I got mugged, and I was like, screw this. And I looked at the Village Voice, and there was this opportunity for an just an audition for this big show band in Miami. So I went, I got it, and I moved back down here. And that's it. I came down here for like 3 months, and it turned into, ooh, I'm still here. So, yeah.
Well, who were some of your influences musically when you were growing up or when you started out? Like, who were the people you really loved?
Connect. Okay, I think who taught me to sing, and songwriter wise, I think it would be, as far as songwriting is concerned, it would be like James Taylor and Carole King. My older brothers and sisters are about 3.5 to 6.5 years older than me, so I listened to their records, vinyl, back then. And Linda Ronstadt, I had a huge, I thought I had a sound kind of like her, Pat Benatar. And then, of course, all the rock bands, you know, the Leonard Skinner, and I listened to The Who and Led Zeppelin and freaking Jethro Tull and Snot Is Pouring Down Your Nose and all that crap. And smoked pot with my friends, and it was what I did. And, you know, it was just an incredibly huge, you know, influence of like melting pot of influences. And then coming down here, I discovered I guess it was Aretha Franklin. Of course, I listened to Aretha, but Sweet Love, and they call me. What's her name? Anita Baker.
Mm-hmm. Anita Baker. God, I love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that first album, it taught me a lot about soul. Yeah, and of course, Whitney. You know, that first album that Whitney had, and we were on her label. So I was very influenced by just everyone. How can you not be influenced by everyone?
Right.
It's just like, it's just, you hear it, and it's days with you. You say some stupid thing all day long that you're like, why am I saying this?
But isn't it interesting, like, when you're starting out, you know, you have all these influences, but you never really know where you're going to end up. And it's like you said, you couldn't have predicted that joining a girl group was going to be your, quote, big break, right? I mean, that's, we don't know.
No, I really couldn't
know.
Have.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never,
you know, you have a very...
And like I said, it was... I'm sorry, go ahead, sweetheart.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I really fought it tooth and nail. I'm going to say it really wasn't what I thought I wanted. But it's like that Sliding Doors movie. You just wonder what would happen if you looked the other way.
So like 9 months.
Some days I do.
There was like nine months of recruitment attempts.
What's that,
Kevin? I was reading there was like 9 months of them trying to get you to do the group.
Yeah. I just wasn't really convinced about it, but you know. It all came together,
Well, you have a very do you know Taylor Dane? Have you worked with?
Let me think about that. Yeah, of course I know Taylor.
Yeah,
he was on our label too.
Well, for me, you've always had a sort of you guys have always had a very similar vibe to me in terms of your voice.
Yeah,
well,
she's got a couple octaves on me. Go Taylor, I freaking love her.
Well, I don't know. There's a quality about
too.
You that.
Thank you. I'll take
well,
her
listen,
compliment. She's tough.
Well, everyone just joining us, we are now joined by Joya Bruno, and I gave out your website at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and I spelled it out because first of all, I love your name. I've never met another Joya.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a first for me.
Oh.
Yeah, so I gave your website out. Everyone can go to the website. It's got all your dates and what's happening. So tell everyone what you're doing right now, what's current and popping.
Oh, did you give them our expose website, exposeonline.net?
No, we didn't get that one out.
No, we gave you a personal one.
Oh, well, that's another one.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
and then joyabruno.com. But exposeonline.net is the tour we're on right now. And, what am I doing right now? I'm actually getting ready to come out there and do some writing with the O'Haley brothers, Fabio and Fabiano. I guess you might know them through Dominic and through my manager, Randy.
Yeah,
there are a couple of guys that have been just doing some killer remixes and productions, a lot of international stuff. So I'm going to be coming out there to just write some new stuff, because before I got back together with the girls, I was doing dance records and just loving it. But when it just conflicted with the whole expose thing, because I was out there doing my dance music and singing, you know, some remixes of expose, and it just didn't go together to be back with the group and then be out singing.
Right.
Without them, it just didn't work. And now at this point, I'm like, well, you know what? It's time to go back to it, because really, I think expose, I mean, we tour, we do our thing, but we haven't really been doing a whole lot of new music, and I'm just dying to do some new music. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Lucky for me, I can still go do that on my own. So that's what I'm getting ready here in 2016. I'm just kind of in my very early 50s looking forward to my future.
Well, you've had quite a journey, because you have a grown daughter now, right? She must be 20s?
27.
27? Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I better be right, because I put it on my freaking lotto ticket today, and I
got
it wrong.
You're more like sisters. Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
We are. It's really interesting. It's so funny. You know, you're like 20 times older than them, and then you're only one time older than them. You know what I mean? It's like from 2 to 25 and then 25 to 50, and whoa, it's like, it's a little insane. And she's just an amazing young person. So I only had one kid, and I got it right the first time, so I was like, I'm not doing this again, because chances are pretty good I'm gonna screw it up the next time.
Well, do you look back now and think, oh my God, how did I do all this? Like, when you think back to raising her and working and being on, you know, doing it and being a working mother, do you ever just pat yourself on the back and go, oh my God, how did I do this?
I know exactly how I did it. I had help, because when I first had her, I was on, we were on tour, and there was just no way I could have done it by myself. I can't just leave a kid with a bus driver. It doesn't work that way. You know, as much as some days I might have wanted to, just kidding. I always tell everybody, I'm like, kids drive me crazy. I can't, but I love my daughter. I just always tease. But no, I had help. My mom came for a while. I had a nanny for a while. And, you know, we just did the best we could. She came to sound checks with me. She messed with our makeup. I'd turn around and she looked like, you know, a clown with lipstick all over her. She was on stage. She was just such a joy, and she still is. So she made it very easy for me. And the girls were like second moms, third moms, second or third moms, depending on who was around which day. And, you know, so to this day, I just, that was Brianna. Oh, my God, I love her. You know, it's just ridiculous. And now
they've watched her grow up also, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And their kids, and I'm watching their kids grow up now, and they're just incredible children. They're just, I really lucked out, I got to tell you.
Well, let me ask you, did she have
horror stories?
Is she a performer at all, or did she go completely the opposite direction?
And you know what? She's an amazing singer.
Uh-huh.
She's more interested in photography, the arts. She teaches yoga. She graduated with an English major. Like, she's just She's still trying to figure it all out, I think.
Right.
That's fine. At 27, you should be.
That's right.
She's definitely an artist. I keep wishing she would just do a little record. She's got that sort of university sound, kind of like, it's just a different sound that I think is so beautiful.
Right.
That, you know, she was a little Disney singer when she was a kid, like, wow, like all over the place. That bathroom door would shut and she'd sit on that thing for 30 minutes singing every song from Little Mermaid. I was like, really?
Oh, I love it. Well, we were talking before. I don't know if you heard us, but I was saying how groups like Exposé and In Vogue, you know, the girl groups of the 80s and 90s have had such a lasting power. Your music has, I mean, you've got the songs that people just instantly remember. There just seems to have been this amazing time. And for me, I'm not a singer, I'm an actor, but to me it looks like the 80s and the 90s were such an integral time of pop music and dance music. And the business, I know, has changed so much. What do you see now when you look at today's industry compared to back 20, 30 years ago, especially with record labels and record deals?
I know. It's really interesting because as you're asking me this question, I'm thinking, on the one hand, it was so hard to promote your music on your own back then. So if you had a label deal, you were blessed beyond blessed because there were only so many people who these labels could really invest in, and they really had to invest a lot of money. And it's not like nowadays you can just go ahead and put your stuff up, and if you're lucky or if you fall on your face somewhere and then they just blow it up on YouTube, like, you can just do the dumbest stuff to get the most, you know, promotion.
Right.
And if you have talent to go with it, the bam. And I think when you get picked up by a label or somebody like Clive Davis, everybody's going to listen to you. And then they're, you know, radio, you know, it's a whole, you know, the whole deal with radio. It's like,
right.
You know, production, promotion, and I don't even want to say PR, but whatever the hell they did, bam, we were out there. But that was a big deal back then in the 80s. There were no rules. Everybody was just kind of throwing everything out there, and they were spending the money to do it. We had an incredible team of people pushing Exposé, pushing which record cover, which picture, which this, which that. And I still continue to communicate with these people. I mean, like, we're still all tight because of the internet, because of Facebook, because of, you know,
social
Twitter
media,
and all these ways to communicate. But at the same time, there's a whole lot more in the water. There's a lot more hands in the pot, and there's just too many people. Like, it's just tough. You don't sit here and wait, oh my God, I can't wait for their next album. You're already on to the next act.
Right.
So I think it's tougher for artists now. I mean, it's tougher. God, it's so confusing. It's tough to get a deal. I got to say that. But anybody can have a deal because you can make your own, and it's tougher to be heard. So it's really, it's almost like an equal. It's just as hard now all of this social media to make it as it was then, trying to get the label to hear your stuff. It's just a whole new kind of frustration. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a whole generation that, you know, we had MTV back in the day, and, you know, that MTV and music videos were such a huge part of any group's career, you know, and that sort of has gone by the wayside. But of course, like you said,
yeah. But you
now
want to know how hard it was to get on MTV? It was not easy. I mean, that was the record label,
right?
That was money. That was just the big bucks. And nowadays, like, again, you've got YouTube. If you've got
something spectacular,
you know, you just have to know how to promote,
how to market it
socially on social media. Mm-hmm. You got to know, you know, and you've got to be out there. You've got to stay committed to it. And you got to respond to people. And that's kind of my job in this group, is to just kind of keep people interested.
Well, and also everything now is about a single. You know, the word album is sort of like non-existent now, right? Yeah, people are like, what do you mean an album?
For years.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't
know.
Bowie just put out an album. Look at him. Everybody's talking about Bowie's album. And you're like, here he is. He left us this incredible gift, an album, a CD, whatever. And everybody's talking about this album.
Right.
So I think that when people think album, they think old school, or they think 70s, 80s acts. You know, I don't know that many albums that I have of 90s acts, but I have 80s and 70s and 60s and 50s, you know. So, you know, I mean, it depends on who you are. Nobody would think, I guess, except maybe for Taylor Swift, you know. Oh, my God, everybody's got her album, right? I mean, she was sold like 17 billion of them in the first day. So, It just depends. It depends on how committed and, again, socially through media and whatnot, how your fans are. We have old fans, or not old, as in, well, kind of old, but committed fans since 1985. And now with social media, I know their names. I know their email addresses. I have them on our Facebook page. I communicate with them, you know, whose birthday is it, and it's a big job. But but these are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, as well as younger fans that are coming in.
So that's what you were saying. What's great about that is now with Facebook and stuff, you can actually feel a lot more personal and intimate with your fans, whereas back in the day, you just saw them. You really couldn't even see them in the audience with the lights. So now you're getting a real connection to people.
Now I'm like, oh my God.
You're like hugging them, going, how is your husband? How are your kids? How are the grandkids? Yeah.
Exactly, because we're just people, right? And it works that way. And I love that about this job. It's a service job. But this is the service industry. We make music to make people happy or to feel something. And to be able to hear the response, like, oh my God, the first time I heard Expose, I was here and this was happening. Or oh my God, you guys gave me the strength to come out. I mean, you inspired me to be a designer. I designed clothes for you guys. I remember sending you, and I would get, like, I still have letters and pins and badges for, you know, from the first fan club we had. People come in with all this stuff. The other day, somebody, what's his name? Raz. I think it's his name. He gave me a VIP pass with the sticker still on the back for the What You Don't Know tour in a little plastic thing. Okay, mind you, I signed about 100 pictures for him, and I knew I was signing stuff for him to trade or sell.
Right.
So finally, I just went, you know what, this is enough already. I got to go. I got other people to sign stuff. And he gave me this piece of memorabilia that I didn't even remember existed, and I was floored. I gave it to my mother because she's my biggest fan, or our biggest fan. And I just was so touched by that. Like, it was, I'm like, really? You're going to give me this? Like, okay, forget the fact that we gave this to you, or how'd you get that? You know, I didn't even go there. He just gave it to me, and I was like, aw, Snuggles, you know? That was sweet.
Well, it means a lot for people to leave their house and actually go out to a venue and, you know.
I know.
Because everyone, you know, we're all stuck on social media and our TVs and tablets, and we don't want to leave the house and go somewhere. So these are, you know, it's a lot. It's saying a lot that these fans actually get their ass out of the house and come see you.
yeah, exactly. You know what? My favorite thing, and I gotta agree. I was supposed to go out tonight, and I changed my plans. But like, my favorite thing to do is just cooking with friends, inviting people over, or going to their house with a really cool, you know, cookbook or whatever. And like, what are we gonna make? Let's go shopping. Let's do this. Let's open some wine. And it usually ends up kind of crazy, but it's always incredibly fun. And I did it last night, and I'm going to do it Friday night. And that's like my social thing. And then if we end up going out or something, great. But it doesn't really matter. You don't really have to go anywhere. For me, singing and performing is like my night out. So
that's your night out.
I'm so blessed in that. I know. I get to go out. I get to sing and hang out with people.
Doria, let me ask you, what is your take? Have you been a fan of these shows like American Idol, The Voice, or any of the competition music shows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, my mother's 81 and completely committed to these shows, so it's like, come over, you need to watch this show. Okay. She's all Dancing with the Stars. I have to say my two favorites. The singing one, of course, The Voice. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't even get past the chairs turning. I'm all about, the judges crack me up like crazy. You know, I love Gwen.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of Maroon 5 and Adam Levine. I've had Maroon 5 months where that's all I've listened to. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah. But and then as far as the dancing, I think Dancing with the Stars is fun. It's people that like have literally absolutely two left feet or three, and it's just fun to watch. My mom watches them all, so
How do you think back in the day, would that have been a show like American Idol? Would you have went out for something like that if it was available at the time? I guess Star Search was around back in the day.
Star Search. Yes, exactly. I never thought about it. You know, I just started singing, and I never looked back. I I started in a garage with a band. So I was just really happy singing in the garage with the band and then in the clubs with the band. And like I said, it was difficult for me to cross over into a three-girl group without a full band. But
right.
Luckily now we have a band and we've been performing as, with our band. So, and then of course in the 80s when we put our first album out, we were out with our band. But it was still more business than music. And
right.
when it crossed over to the business side, it freaked me out. It still to this day freaks me out sometimes. So, you know, it's just me. I'm a very sort of, I'm just really a regular kind of girl from Jersey, you know, just want to sing and enjoy my life and spend time with friends and family. It's really that's my hobby.
Well, and also I want to applaud you. I want to bring up, I mean, you know, a lot of people may not know that you also have recovered. You suffered with Lyme disease and you're on the other side of that. And that's a very, I'm sure Lyme disease has been around for a long time.
Oh, my God, I didn't know you know that. Isn't that funny? I never really had the opportunity to talk about it because it was at a time, well, I was kind of high. I was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
We were on tour and I somehow managed to get it together to do those shows. But I got to tell you, I mean, I watch The Housewives and I see,
Yolanda Foster,
Well, you know, I see how sick she is, but you look at her and you don't really see how sick she is. When you looked at me, I had lumps all over me on my face that literally moved around like they were alive. It was the weirdest, horrendous case of Lyme disease. I could barely walk. I could barely move my arms. My hands were crunched up like little claws. I looked like I had arthritis, like an 80, 90-year-old woman with really bad arthritis. And
oh, my God.
I was a mess, but I got, after like the 18th time I went to the hospital, I was finally diagnosed, and then I went on an IV for 4 months of antibiotics, which worked for me, but it doesn't seem to work for everyone, and I'm just so blessed that it worked for me. I have my Lyme days, I have issues here and there, but I'm like, nothing compared to what people with, you know, life-threatening diseases deal with every single day. I'm just grateful that I got through it.
Well, and like you said, just getting the diagnosis is a lot. Is sometimes the hardest thing because it masks itself as so many other possible things.
Yeah, it was difficult. Well, it's a Western blot that they actually do, and that's what, you know, I thought I was dying, and when I got, and my daughter, we all thought I was. And when we got that diagnosis, I remember it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, a friend of mine worked at the lab, and I was out on, I lived on a houseboat at the time, and I remember getting the diagnosis, and I didn't really understand what it was, but I knew there was a way to live with it and get, I figured there's a cure. I think there's a, you know, that's just the way I think, positive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I went out on my back deck, and I'm floating around, and these three dolphins just started flying to the intercoastal, and I just said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, mm-hmm. and, I found the best doctor, and I was in South Florida where really, I mean, it's kind of a Jersey Northeastern thing where it started.
Northeast, yeah.
Yeah, but I helped a friend out who had hurt her back very badly, and I was helping her out, and at her house, she had these dogs, and she was on a golf course, and it was in Florida, and there were ticks in the house, and I believe that I got it in Florida.
Mm.
Wow.
And I got lucky. I found a doctor from New Jersey. So, bada bing.
Well, you know, didn't Avril Lavigne, the singer Avril Lavigne, also have Lyme disease? She came out recently last year and talked about her.
Yeah,
her,
she did. She did. And, Parker Posey had it. But
oh,
I'll tell you, like I said, I'm going to say it on here. Rocephin antibiotics, IV. I had an IV port for 4 months. And the antibiotics are a lot like chemo. It really destroys you, but you just got to know that it's worth it to get through it. And if your body can handle it, then it cured me. I'll say that it cured me. And I feel like I'm 100%. So
and did you get on a lot of,
God bless you. You're the perfect role model for that, to show people that you can get on the other side of it. And keep going. Well, listen, my dear, I wish the show were 2 hours. It goes by way too fast. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to call in today and just much continued success with the expose and all the other stuff you have going on. And if you're ever out in L.A., we'd love to have you come live in the studio. That would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And
all right,
is JT there too?
JW?
Yeah, Joy, I'm here as well. Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much. It's such a pleasure. And hopefully, like Jasper said, when you're here, you'll come in studio and meet us. That'll be great.
I would love to. Thank you so much. Have a great night, guys.
Thank you, my dear. Take care. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Joya Bruno from Exposé. Well, JW?
Yes.
Should we take a little break and we can play Let Me Be the One?
You got it.
And we'll come back and wrap it up.
All righty.
You're listening to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. We'll be right back.
One-on-one with Jasper Cole.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Hi, Mr. JW. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. That was a great interview.
Great interview.
Yeah. She's such
Joya
a trooper.
Bruno, I love that song so much. That was like a big anthem of mine in the 80s, going through college and starting my career.
Yeah, it's a great song. I remember singing it, too.
It was great.
Yeah.
You know, she has such a great spirit, and you can hear just the what I love about it, her enthusiasm, is after 30 years, you know, me, I always say I'm 30 years in this acting business, and I want to always still be excited about it, you know, and have a certain optimism about it. And she has been through quite a bit. And,
yeah, I also read that she had a throat tumor at one point, you know, and was unable to sing for a few years. And I was going to ask her about that, but I don't think you guys were hearing me properly through the connection. So
there was so much. You know, she's had quite a journey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of run-ins, a lot of ups and downs, and the Lyme disease, of course, was the most recent thing to deal with. But having gone through all that and still just be as positive and optimistic as she is really, really impressive. So,
yeah, it sure is.
Again, it was. We gave out her website, but then there's the Exposé website.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have that there, Exposé?
Yeah, I think it was Exposé International .net.
.net.
Yeah.
Okay, for everyone, that actually has the dates and the venues and where Exposé is touring right now. So
for their international tour.
So people can check out. Because, like she said, how great to have these generations of fans. You know that. I'm wondering if they, I was going to ask her if they, you know, you see these tours will be like several groups from the 80s. You'll have like the Bangles, the Go-Go's, Exposé. You know, I love, it would be great to see one evening with like three or four different groups.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I wonder if they do that when they get together.
Because being out in Palm Springs, a lot of the big casinos out there have really headlining, I mean, amazing people. And then they have these amazing vintage acts from the 80s and 90s as well that that are still out there performing. I was trying to think, probably, I guess the Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, that's their site. I just went to it. It's actually Exposé Tour. Let me pull it up really quick. So that they know when I went to the site, it actually plays music. So that's what you guys were hearing. But yeah, I'm gonna pull it up really quick. It's exposeonline.net. Exposeonline.net.
Yes. Right. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure we had the right address for them because I thought it was something international, but I think she said international tour maybe.
Yeah. But I was just thinking, in the most recent, there's, I guess, like Pussycat Dolls were one of the last groups. You know, girl groups now are sort of, there aren't, I can't think of one that's really hot right now that's happening. You know what I mean?
Girl groups? There's a few that came from, like, X Factor from the UK that are taking off right now. But
that are back, kind of coming back around.
Yeah. But you're as far as long-standing in terms of... Yeah, like Pussycat Dolls was a big one here.
And it's interesting how there's always, like, Nicole Schlesinger, there's always that one girl,
yeah,
like Joya did. There's always the one that, you know, kind of breaks through on her own. It's, you know, it's Dream Girls. There's always the Diana Ross that gets out front, right?
Yeah, but I think the one I was thinking was called Little Mix. That was one of the groups, yeah.
Yeah.
Little Mix, because they're like the One Direction for the females.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, JW, where does this time go?
Just flew by. It sure did. I know. We
covered a lot, though.
We sure did.
We certainly did.
Yeah.
And
good luck to all the people who played Lotto. Hopefully.
Yes. Well,
one of our listeners wins.
I hope if you win, you just won't abandon us.
Right.
How about this? If you win, you'll buy the station.
There you go. There you go.
And then you can run it the way you want to run it.
Right. Yeah.
All right, listen, we want to thank all our sponsors again. Please go to ubnradio.com to our host page and check out the sponsors. To all the listeners, thank you so much. You can always check us out on iTunes, Spreaker, and Stitcher.
Yeah.
And we have our YouTube channel.
We do.
And we will be back here next Wednesday, same time, same place. Thank you, JW.
Thank you, Jasper.
Shout out to Joya Bruno and to Dominic Friesen. And you've been listening to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Peace out.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.